A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. When the days for Jesus to be taken up were fulfilled, he resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his reception there, but they would not welcome him because the destination of his journey was Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they journeyed to another village. The Gospel of the Lord. Huge contrast in today's readings over receptivity and over reaction. In today's gospel, after Jesus had resolutely set his face to go to Jerusalem, which meant what was going to happen in Jerusalem, his passion, death, and resurrection, he sent his messengers ahead. Jesus had already instructed his messengers what to do when they would proclaim the gospel, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And if they were not to be accepted, that they were to wipe the dust off their sandals and go on to another place. Wipe the dust meaning don't carry with you that pain of rejection to the next place. Wipe it off. Go anew. But instead, James and John, the Boanerges brothers, when they recognized Jesus was rejected, they thought back to the inhospitality of those in Sodom. And as happened in Sodom, they wanted to call down fire from heaven to destroy that town. Far different than wiping off the dirt. They wanted to leave it a pile of dust. Jesus would say later in St. John's Gospel that the Son of Man came to save the world, not to condemn it. But condemning is easier than saving. That reaction of the Samaritans not to accept Jesus, not to welcome him, was different than what we saw in the prophet Zechariah from the first reading. To live in such a way that non-Jews would come and grab on to the arm, to the cloak, to the shirts, to the garments of every Jew, saying, "Let us go with you, for we've heard that God is with you." That type of attractive life in which we're not wagging, but in fact we're inviting and we're pointing toward the Lord. That's what the Lord wants to give us the grace to do, to cooperate with him in saving by showing what it means to live a saved life, which is a happy life, which is a joyful life, which is a life in which the light of Christ exudes. That type of life was lived by the great saint we celebrate today, St. Vincent de Paul. St. Vincent de Paul was ordained at the tender age of 20, which was unbelievable. And at first, he was an ambitious priest. His family was very poor, and he knew that if he played his cards right, he would be able to garner by his intelligence and his charm many benefices, the income of which would help to get his family out of poverty. But he had a massive conversion once when his roommate was ripped off, and the roommate started to blame Vincent as being the thief. Vincent recognized in that circumstance that even all his eloquence couldn't deny a negative, couldn't prove that he hadn't done it. He could prove that he was someplace else, but you can't philosophically prove a negative. The only thing he was able to do was turn to the Lord and say, "God knows the truth, and I didn't do it." 6 months later, the real thief came forward and confessed. But for those 6 months, there was purification in Vincent. From that point forward, he was going to seek not earthly things through the priesthood alongside of spiritual goods, but he was going to seek God in everything and carry out God's work with the skills that God had given. And his heart burst with love for all those who were suffering, all those who needed to be saved by the Lord. He went and ministered to the galley slaves, those who are basically left just to die of hard work for crimes, some of which they were innocent of. He began to care for all those peasants who were wandering, lost with no meaning of life. They were supposed to be catechized. They were nominal Christians. They had been baptized. But because they had never learned how to read and because nobody cared about them, they had never been instructed in the faith. So he went, basically sleepless, for many nights in order to crisscross farms, to pass on the faith and to pass on what the real meaning of the Christian life was. Eventually, he was able to form a band of Lazarists, his congregation of the mission, in order to commit themselves with him, to go out for all those Lazaruses at the rich man's gates, longing for the crumbs that fell from their table, in order to feed them not just materially, but feed them with every word that comes from the mouth of God. He recognized, though, that the need was far greater than what he and his fellow Lazarists were able to do. He needed to form priests in order to be real priests, and he needed to form bishops to be real bishops and to form real priests, not people who were seeking what he sought as a baby priest, but rather to seek what Christ sought throughout his entire life. So he got the French crown in order to mandate that future bishops as well as future priests needed to do retreats with him and his Lazarists before they were capable of being ordained. Those retreats initially were 2 weeks, and then they expanded to 2 years, kind of like homilies on Sundays, perhaps, at St. Anthony's. Nevertheless, that formation started to occur. And one man at a time, that change in the clergy occurred, and then the change in French society occurred. He never stopped caring about those who were going without. He formed a group of women around him, led by St. Louise de Marillac, and they started this institute in order to care for the hungry in Paris. I like to think that 400 families, which is what comes to our food pantry on Thursdays, is an enormous crowd. They were feeding 16,000 mouths a day in Paris, and they didn't have enough resources to go beyond that. But his heart continued to burst all the way until he died at the age of 80. We come here today on his feast day, recognizing that it was on to St. Vincent's black robes that so many people had attached themselves, saying, "Let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." Started with the slaves in the galleys, then it was the little children on the farms, then it was even priests and bishops and religious, all grabbing on to his arm as he tried to bring them to God and God to them. This is what it means to go out and seek and save what was lost. This is what it means to share in Christ's mission. Let us ask him to intercede for us, that we might carry the torch he carried aloft with such burning love.